Thank you, Chairman, and good evening. I'm billed as President of the Royal Society of Edinburgh. That is true, I am the current President of the Royal Society of Edinburgh. But I am not speaking here tonight on behalf of the Royal Society of Edinburgh, because that academy takes the line that it's not going to take up a position in any political debate. Politics in Scotland is quite hot, as you will appreciate. The Royal Society of Edinburgh's role is to provide expert and impartial information about the pros and cons, but not to take up a position. I am speaking, therefore, rather more this evening as an astrophysicist from Oxford University. So my experience is in academic scientific research, not business, not innovation. I'm also, however, speaking as one who has chaired some European Commission physics panels, awarding grants, fellowships, prizes, and so with some inside knowledge, albeit of frameworks 5 and 6, but also some searing experience of the very first round of ERC fellowships. Do you remember they drastically underestimated how many applications they'd get? Boy, was it fun. Oxford Astrophysics Group has 130 people, all told. That's all categories of people, secretarial, computer support staff, right through to the professoriate. 130 people and 30 nationalities. That, I think, is the norm in top-rank science research today in academia. We recruit the best from all over Europe and beyond. And incidentally, it turns out that many Europeans have had a more rigorous mathematics and physics training than do their UK counterparts. Membership of the EU facilitates mobility of researchers and of students. The mixing and the diversity is good. It's well established in both business and academic centres that diversity of a group adds robustness, adds flexibility, and therefore it is normally more successful. And the more diverse groups are, the more successful they are. The UK researchers have been remarkably successful. In the 2014 Horizon 2020 grants, 45 of them are being held in the UK. The next nearest country is Germany with 29 to our 45, and then it's France with 23. We get more than 20% of the European Research Council grants for putting in only 11% of the funding. And the grants that we get, these are big things we're talking about, they're typically 2 million euros or more. Similarly, between 2007 and 2013, the UK got 50% more funding than Germany, and 100% more, that's twice as much as France. So we are incredibly successful at getting European Research Council stuff. And I've wondered why this is. It's certainly the case in astrophysics that the competition here in the UK is enormous. And the opportunities are so limited in the UK that all but the best go to the wall, I regret to say. Those that remain are absolutely brilliant at making cases, be they in Britain or in Europe, and so we get the European money. A lesser factor could be that the working language for these grants is English. That probably was more of a factor in the past, but many, many more people now have good English, particularly if they're scientists. So I think that's not a major factor anymore. Nearly 50% of the UK scientific publications have non-UK authors in the list. And those papers have higher impact than the ones with just UK authors. recent case study showed that 93% of scientists want to stay in Europe. Oxford University gets £66 million a year from European funding. That's about 10% of all the UK's European funding. The UK universities' research funding from EU grants has grown 68% over the last 4 years. That's quite a growth. In my area, the exciting results in the last few years have been the discovery of the Higgs boson, and a couple of months ago, the announcement of the discovery of detection of gravitational radiation. Higgs boson was discovered at CERN, a multinational organisation, albeit outside Europe, but a multinational organisation. And the gravitational radiation work was done jointly by the US, the UK, Germany and Italy. As I say, neither of these are actually in the EU, but they are multinational. We have a load of grand challenges ahead of us. Issues around the environment, climate change, sustainability, energy, water, food. We are going to need multinational collaboration to crack those. And if we're already in one multinational collaboration, why quit? Doesn't seem to stop us collaborating with other people as well. Multinational collaborations also allow harmonisation of regulations. So, for instance, animal welfare standards that I think we initiated are now common throughout Europe. But we're quite clear in Edinburgh that the GMO regulation protocols are too ponderous, too expensive, too complicated, and I think counterproductive with perverse incentives. So I agree with Lord Hennessy on that. The other area that interests me and might interest about a quarter of the audience here is another dimension of diversity. Gender. The EU forced us to have maternity leave. Before 1973, we did not have maternity leave, let alone the right to return to a job. European Community made us have that, and a number of other things in the human rights and working conditions areas. They shone a spotlight on the number of women in the scientific workplace and on their progress. And I, for one, am very grateful for that spotlight. We weren't doing enough in Britain. Whether we're doing enough now is another issue. But a lot of the gains in that area have been due to the European pressure. And for that reason, I give them a lot of credit and forgive them a lot of sins. They undoubtedly can be incredibly ponderous and complicated, but they also listen. 2020 is a lot easier for scientists to apply to than were the previous things, which really were a trifle complicated. Though I think in that instance, the UK made things worse for itself by going on about, it's not all done on merit, it's industry and deprived areas and all that. Having operated their system, I wouldn't agree with that statement, but a lot of my colleagues refused to get involved, said, it's too complicated, without actually trying. So you may gather that on balance, I'm pro the European Union, but it's very, very far from perfect, I will admit. I am encouraged that currently, recently, they have started to listen to complaints from ordinary people about their procedures and have taken steps to modify them incredibly. And I see multinationalism as the way forward. And given that we're in one consortium, I don't think it's doing much more harm than any other consortium would. So I'm inclined to say stay with it. It's not exclusive, it's not restrictive, and we can continue to work with whoever we want to. Thank you.